from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I'm still levitating.
Yes?
Just full-blown ascent to heaven during that game on Saturday.
All right.
I'm not talking about the women's soccer game, by the way. That was awesome, too. Hung out at my parents' house, woke up early, got over there just in time for kickoff, and enjoyed U.S. women's soccer's 1-0 win over Brazil to secure a gold medal, one of the 40 Team USA won at the Olympics. But then we got to 12:30. And the United States and France. And not only was that just a terrific basketball game, but having the game we watched here, the USA-Serbia game, where Steph kind of went nuclear, particularly in the first half, and hit the 9 threes in the game and helped them put Serbia away, hit the go-ahead three in the fourth quarter. That was great. That was such a fun time. But then having it happen again in the gold medal game, with the 4 threes in the final 2:48 or whatever it was, I ascended. I peaked. It was incredible. It was amazing.
You know, I think the cool thing about the Olympics is, like, you have to put your personal fandom aside.
Yeah.
And cheer for something much bigger,
yes.
Right? So that's what everybody understands. It's the Olympics, whether you watch gymnastics ever,
nope,
outside of the Olympics or not, or swimming or jujitsu or ping pong, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like during the Olympics, you get behind your team, mm-hmm, right? And so I think it was cool to allow fans to have Steph Curry be one of their guys.
Yes.
Just for a few minutes.
Yes.
And then you can go back to your regular scheduled programming.
Right. We got regular season coming up in 2 months.
Yeah, but for a weekend or for 2 weeks,
yeah,
you got to really just like go, oh my gosh, look how good he is.
Yeah.
He's so much fun to watch. He's so incredible. And for that matter, you get to do the same thing with Victor Wembanyama.
Yes.
You get to do the same thing with Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. Like whoever that player was that like caught your eye during the Olympics, mm-hmm, But watching the greatness of Steph Curry is such a privilege.
It was so cool. I mean, just to piggyback off what you're saying, I want to put a pin in the Steph thing for a second. But I'm not a LeBron guy. I don't try and tarnish his legacy or anything like that. But I don't like root for the guy. But these Olympics had me doing the like, yes. Let's go, King. Let's go, King. What do I? I don't care. I'm out there, clapping for Devin Booker's awesome defense. Like, what a weird thing. It's insane.
Weird.
Totally, totally odd. But Steph doing what he did at the end of that game was not. It was cool for me. We talked so much about sports moments, right? And it was cool for me seeing him do that in a Team USA jersey, right?
Yeah.
But that's something, if you're a Warriors fan, you've seen him do not that exact thing necessarily, Raymond Ritter, the great PR guy for the Warriors, actually tweeted out, he's done that exact thing, four threes in X amount of time, whatever the stat was. He's done it one time before, but the ridiculous shot making and the just flurry and him getting hot, like, that wasn't new.
Mm-mm.
But getting to enjoy it with other people who don't usually get to enjoy it in that way, or, I mean, people appreciate him, right? I think any Kings fan who hates Steph also understands how good he is. Like, nobody's saying he stinks.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've never gotten to root for the shot to go in. And seeing everybody get to do that and experience it in that way for the first time.
Yeah, spectacular.
It was so cool. It was so fun. Just scrolling the internet and watching people who I know don't root for the guy posting highlights and doing the night-night thing. And it was just, oh, God, what a freaking moment. Here, I got here early today just to do this.
Curry, jab, triple, he sticks it!
Steph, say calm down, everybody.
Just cut him off.
Curry, step back, pump, Curry, ridiculous!
That's unfair.
Steph Curry, kick, Curry, again? You already know! Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Nah. Noah Eagle and Dwayne Wade were awesome.
Yeah.
The entire tournament.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were so good. And the coolest thing about those highlights and that sound is that arena is in France. They're playing against France. And early on in the game, you could tell there were some Team USA fans in there, but, you know, it's probably a lot of Team USA, a ton of France, and then a lot of people who are just kind of neutral.
Yeah.
And listening as each one of those went in, the louder and louder the crowd got. Ugh. That was a moment for me. I cried.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'll admit it.
That was incredible. It was. I mean, the crowd, again, that was pretty much a French crowd.
Yeah, it was like a home game for France.
Yeah, but still, to be able to witness something like that, I think it is, it's a lot like watching, like, Simone Biles, right?
Yes.
Like, there's something so special about what she's doing, and it doesn't matter where you're from. When you watch her, like, on the floor exercise, and all of a sudden she's like 8 feet off the ground doing like multiple flips, and you're like, how in the world is that even happening? And then the next person hops on the, on the giant mat,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh no, I want to watch the other thing.
Yeah, like this is fine, but
the other girl, I want to bring her back. Can she go again? Because yeah. I want to see that again.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you start to get with a guy like Steph. He elevated himself to the gold standard on the gold on the yeah. highest stage of the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and that's not easy to do. It's like again the 100 meter. It's like the floor exercise, mm-hmm. whatever it is that you just can't wait to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you watched any of the diving,
I watched zero diving.
The Chinese divers, like, have figured out a way to, like, eliminate the splash.
Oh.
It's the most insane thing
you've
ever
seen. That's gonna be so aesthetically pleasing.
You're like, what in the world? Like, you're normally like, oh, that splash is too big. Like, we're all
yeah,
like,
right.
we're Expert. All like stupid, ridiculous amateur judges for the Olympics. Like, oh, no, this huge splash. Total over rotation. And then you watch the tandem when they had the two divers together,
mm-hmm.
like watching two people go in the water right next to each other in zero splash. The whole time you're thinking, I just want a cannonball, dude, because that right. doesn't look right. Like, but they like figured out some sort of aerodynamicy or some way of like physics
mm-hmm.
to have like so much force going down through the water that it pulls the water back down.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're doing it.
It's incredible.
But I'm here for it. And then, but just once every 4 years, like I'm not here for it. Like,
I don't need the professional diving league.
If the world championship is 3 weeks from now, I am not watching it.
Not happening.
I just watched this one and it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I was really, really thoroughly enjoyed the Olympics.
Yes.
And I just to stick with the men's basketball stuff, we talked so much about the passing of the torch this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
How it felt like, man, the Stephs, LeBron, KD, that generation is aging out, and you actively see the Luka, the Anthony Edwards, you see that generation pushing itself forward. The Chet Holmgrens, the Victor Wembanyamas. You see that generation coming. This gold medal game on Saturday, to me, getting away from the Steph Curry of it all, was a really, I think, important or special moment in basketball history, because A, it was Steph and LeBron and KD on the same team together.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the last time those guys are ever on a stage like that, where that was for all the marbles. That was the gold medal game against France in France. Kevin Durant and LeBron James and Steph Curry, I think, will play in playoff games again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, as centerpieces of their respective teams, if they'll ever go to a championship again and be playing in a game seven, ostensibly, for an NBA title. And certainly not doing it all on the same team.
Yeah.
And I think the way we kind of the way we hold up the Dream Team as a kind of standard of basketball excellence, I don't know that the 2024 team will ever be looked at the same way, but I think that trio and this tournament and that game against France and the comeback against Serbia, I think will be looked at down the road as a like seminal basketball moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talk about like handing the torch off, and you kind of feel like it was LeBron, KD, and Steph just holding the torch up, the three of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we're not ready to hand it off yet, but when we're done, when this is over, yeah, it's probably, you just got to see the end. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, for basketball purposes, it might be the end of their true story. Mm-hmm. As like the superstars of the game. They'll still have like a little,
no doubt,
you know, like prologue.
Yes.
But the prologue will just be about how their careers ended, mm-hmm, not about championships or anything else, like what you're saying. So yeah, I it was beautiful to watch, and like the shots that have come out of that, the photos.
Oh my god!
The Victor Wembanyama trying to swat Steph Curry is one of the craziest things. It's literally just wild to see that picture.
That play in general.
Oh yeah.
Like let's take that still photo. Okay. That was Steph catching in the corner and the quick release, right? Just to get that shot off and over Wembanyama,
mm-hmm,
was incredible. That it hit the rim with enough touch to fall through, ridiculous. But then that still shot, and Vic being as big as he is, as high off the ground as he was, like, this isn't a 7'4" guy who jumps 9 inches.
No.
Like, this is a 7'4" guy with a vert, and just the pose he's in.
Yeah.
And Steph with the, you can tell he just, because it's not the full fall through, his hand is like down here because he just threw it up.
Yeah.
It just, oh, that picture is incredible. There are maybe five photos from that game that are going to go down as just all-time iconic sports photos.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, Steph clearly scouted, because we watched the game before where France beat Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis Schroeder just got stuffed. He got swatted on a three-point attempt where Victor Wembanyama really wasn't even in the picture, and then all of a sudden he blocked the ball.
It was insane. He had no business getting anywhere close.
Yeah.
He did that. So Steph always does the, he did it a couple times at the end of the fourth quarter, where he does the pump fake and then like pulls the ball back through and then sidesteps and goes. He got Wembanyama on that pump fake, and usually on that pump fake, he pulls the ball around and he gets a shot off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, this is anecdotal, I swear to God, he shoots 98% on those. It's like he never misses when he gets the pump in. But Wembanyama, who at times in that game with Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Rudy Gobert,
Anthony Davis,
Bam Adebayo, like pick a superstar that played in that game, Jason Tatum, pick Victor Wembanyama was in stretches the best player on the court,
mm-hmm,
which is asinine. But Steph gets him on the pump fake, and he is so large that he flew by and had enough reach to still contest and force him to pass. What is that? It didn't make any sense.
It's absolutely remarkable. I can't wait to see what he looks like in 2 years.
Oh, my.
Really. And then I hope that they don't, like, let him stay lean. Let him stay like Durant.
Like, yeah.
So we still get to see, like, who cares if he gets pushed around here and there in the low block. Like, I don't care. Like, there's going to be so many other times where he blocks a shot that you had no idea, or he goes over up and over the top of somebody for a jump hook or whatever. Like, don't bulk him up at all. Let him stay this fluid athlete like a Kevin Durant that can do anything on the court.
Yep.
I can't wait to see what he looks like down the road. Did you see the scene where his shoe came off?
Yes.
And then he's sitting there.
Boat.
It literally, his foot is like this big.
It is ridiculous.
Like, you're like, what in the world is going on there?
Outrageous.
Yes. Yeah.
He just, and that's to your point about him bulking up. And I know we talk about Victor Wembanyama a lot, and Victor Wembanyama is good is not necessarily an original take, but I just don't want to lose sight of it. I don't want to lose sight of what direction this kid is heading, because all of this promise of him as a prospect, like, it looks like it's playing out, which is remarkable, right? And to your point about him bulking up, I totally agree with you. Like, he's going to put on natural muscle as he ages. He turned 20 this year. Mm. Like, he's not 21 until January.
That's wild.
So he's going to put on natural muscle, right? Just from playing and being in an NBA workout program. But I'm with you, man, because even if you're going to knock him off his spot, he's not 6'11". Where if you knock him off his spot, there's another 6'11 guy who's going to go up over the top. He is so massive that, okay, you knock him off his spot a little bit, and he's still going to have the recovery quickness and size to affect the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you, man. That was the non-USA takeaway for me there. As good as Gershon Yabusele was, and we can talk about him too, Wembanyama looking not only like he belonged on the court with those guys, those guys being Team USA,
mm-hmm.
but looking at times like they didn't have an answer for him.
Oh, yeah.
Was jarring.
I think the entire league is looking at that and going, like, how are we going to defend him? Like, again, this happens on occasion where someone comes onto the scene and you're like, we don't know what to do with him. Like, I look, you know, I watch a lot of EPL. I watch a lot of, you know, European soccer, and Man City has Haaland. Yeah, there we go.
Erling Haaland, Yeah,
Haaland. Well, I'm a man, you guys, so they have Hoyland. So Haaland and Hoyland.
Of course, yeah.
So, but there's, like, for a two-year stretch, no one can stop him. He's, like, 6'5", and built like a Mack truck, and runs, like, a 4.3 40, and just busts through everybody, and has incredible footwork, incredible touch. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there going, like, how in the world are they going to stop him?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see some teams, you know, there are guys who pop up and have 30 goals, and then they don't ever have 30 goals again, right? Like, almost like 40 home run guys that hit 40, and then they never come back around and hit 40 ever again.
Salute to Brady Anderson.
Yeah, I think he had 50, right?
56.
Yeah.
56?
Yeah. 50, I think it broke
fact
50.
Check. Someone fact check that.
Yeah. So
50-ish.
But watching, like, somebody who, like, all of a sudden the other team is game planning their entire, like, how in the world are we going to stop him? They're going out and getting transfers for 6'5", 6'6" guys that are strong enough to hang with him and fast enough to maybe hang with him.
Yeah.
So that's where I think we're going to get with Wembanyama, where it's like everybody's going to be searching. Like, that's why I think OKC is so far ahead of the curve with most of these teams, because they already have Chet.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, all the other teams are going to have to line up and say, like, what are we going to do? Like, again, the Sacramento Kings, what are they going to do with Victor Wembanyama?
No idea.
And Sabonis is going to bully him still for a couple of years and push him around and do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, how are you going to deal with him as on the other end of the court? Yeah. Like, how are you going to function when this dude who's 7'4" that can do anything on the court, it's going to be really wild.
The thing that scares me the most about Victor Wembanyama as an NBA player, as somebody who is not a San Antonio Spurs fan, this would be thrilling if you're a Spurs fan, but if you're a Kings fan and you're kind of taking a look at what the next 3 or 4 years of the West looks like, the fact that, A, all the quotes that came out from Victor Wembanyama this year about, I don't care how about my number, I came here to win, and we're not winning.
Yeah.
And then he's crying after the gold medal game.
Mm-hmm.
If an athlete is crying because they lost, that is a check mark in the pro column for me. That you're taking it that personally matters to me.
Oh, yeah.
And that he was, it's like, dude, he's going to take this so personal. And he's gonna be really good.
Yeah,
he's big, but he's hyper competitive, and he's all about winning. I think he's a leader that people are gonna follow. The Spurs are gonna be a problem.
Yeah, there's a lot of Tim Duncan in his personality.
Ooh, yeah,
there's a lot of that, but then just like with this incredible like length and athleticism that we've never seen.
Yeah,
yeah.
What were your thoughts on Gershon Yabusele, who had a huge game? Dude, that dunk on LeBron was nuts.
Sign him up. Like, that was go nuts. Get him. Go get him. And I, like, there's no way for the Kings to go get him. But he has a $2.5 million player option. Let me think. He has a $2.5 million buyout for Real Madrid.
Okay.
So he could leave and go to the NBA. It was only $1 million if NBA teams knew anything about him before July 15th, which of course he did play in the NBA. He was a top 15 or 16 pick.
Yeah, 16, I think, by the Celtics.
Celtics, yeah. In the 2017 draft, I think it was.
Something like that.
Yeah, kind of hidden right there by around the Harry Giles, Justin Jackson, John Collins area in the draft. He's the type of guy that should have a place in the NBA. You know, he doesn't have like the extreme. Well, maybe he does have some of the Montrezl Harrell leaping ability, but he's just built. You know, like just a dude that you really could see having some success, and maybe that success is fine for him in Europe. But as opposed to like a Sasha Vezenkov, who's like, you know, running amok in the European game, floating around the outside and hitting threes. He's a guy that I think could mix it up and give you a different look at the NBA level. Yeah, so he's fun, and you know, we saw him before. I think there are a handful of guys that stood out that really, like, if they wanted to have an NBA window, that really stood out and said, look, I can still play, or I was left behind, or I've developed, whatever it might be. So I'm kind of like, the Olympics, I think, was a really cool showcase for a lot of these players.
Yeah.
That, you know, again, Lesor for France.
Yeah. You said the Knicks have his rights?
The Knicks have his rights. And I guess they had talked early in the summer about potentially bringing him over, but it didn't go anywhere. He wanted too much money or something. And now it's like, okay, well, he's worth a lot more than he was before. So, and the Knicks have no money. So it's tough. Yeah. Like a $2.5 million buyout, like, again, that would be tough for almost any NBA team because. Well, for any team that's up against the cap. So, because you can't, like, unless you have cap space, you can't go sign him.
Right.
So
I'd be interested to see how teams evaluate the Olympics, because it's FIBA rules, which changes things a little bit, which is what they're playing for Real Madrid or whatever European team they're playing for. I'd be interested to know how teams evaluate that. Because I saw that Yabusele shot like 44% on 2.5 threes a game last year, but it's the different ball and it's the closer 3-point line. How do they stack that? Because that would be a huge key, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to sign Gershon Yabusele, it's with the idea that, yeah, he's going to have to stretch the floor a little bit because it's 2024, not 2004. You can't just park his ass in the paint and tell him to go to work.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to know how teams go about evaluating that, because I don't know how you watch him against Team USA and go, that guy can't play in the NBA.
Well, I think that's the key. You roll the ball out there and say, okay, let's see what it looks like against Team USA. And you're like, oh, okay. He's hanging tough. And that's why, like, again, we joke around about Bruno Caboclo. Man, he held up against Team USA. Not only did he drop 33-18 on some other team right before they played.
Japan, I think.
Yeah, but then he walks in and he put up 30-6. You're like, okay. He shoots a three. Okay. You start checking the boxes. You're like, okay, maybe it does translate now, or it didn't translate so many other times. And I think that's what you're looking at for a bunch of these players. I don't know that, again, that we're going to see any of them jump to the NBA and be like, okay, I'm here. Like, that was fun. I showed you what I could do at the Olympics, but now let's, you know, somebody sign me.
Well, and to do that, you have to, like, commit money to them. Yabusele is not going to come over here on a training camp non-guaranteed deal.
Yeah, and a team can only put up, it's probably close to $1 million now at this point to match to for the buyout. So again, if Yabusele, right? Yeah, if he's got like 3 or 4 years of NBA experience, right? Before he went back, so he would get paid at like just a minimum scale. He would get paid like maybe 2.5, 2.6 million. And then a team can pay $1 million to help him buy out. But that would mean he'd only make $1 million here in the U.S. to play basketball for a year if he was making a league minimum, because like 1.5 of his money and $1 million of the team's money is going to buy him out of his contract. And so he would have to get like a $4 or $5 million deal for it to truly make sense.
Yeah. And teams aren't going to, that's, and I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
His teams aren't without that guarantee of knowing that, because they've seen him in the NBA and it didn't go great.
No,
same thing
with
Bruno Caboclo.
Didn't go well at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So are they, that's where I want to know. Are they looking at those players and evaluating against their previous NBA tape?
Yeah.
And are they saying, yeah, it's kind of the same player. He's gotten a little bigger or a little stronger and he's thriving under FIBA rules, but we think he's largely going to be the same guy in the NBA that he was. Or is it, like you just said, with Caboclo, people going, hey, 2 years away from 2 years away, it's now.
Yeah,
it
finally arrived.
Turn the corner, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see if any teams take advantage of that after the Olympics.
I think it speaks to a larger conversation, though, about how the world is catching up to the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it, like, again, it's how many players are playing, what was it, 61 players?
Yeah, something like that.
NBA players were in the Olympics.
Compared to 9 in 1992.
Yeah, and it's not just that, but it's how many players we talked about, this other like 8 to 10 players that you look at who don't play in the NBA, who could play in the NBA. So you're looking at just like the swath of talent like around the world is tremendous. And yeah, I think it, like, whether it's next 4 years from now or whether it's 8 years or 12 years from now, like, Team USA is going to legitimately get beat for a gold medal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who they send. They're going to get beat by a team that just, number one, spends more time together, but number two, has the talent level. And I think it's only a matter of time.
The Team USA, right, used to have, in 1992, they had the peak, but then they also had just an insane amount of depth on against every other team. But now it feels like that depth, that gap has closed significantly. And the thing that keeps Team USA separated right now, the reason they've won, what, 5 straight gold medals, is because of the peak guys.
Yes.
Because they've had Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant and now Stephen Curry. Those are the guys that, hey, you know what, game's on the line, Olympic Melo is gonna bail them out, or LeBron is gonna bail them out, or Steph is gonna bail them out. And there's no team that has enough guys to kind of withstand that.
Yep.
But I'm with you. It is very, very close. It's all trending the right direction for the rest of the world, for sure.
Yeah, look at Canada. And I think Canada is going to be one of those teams that right now they look like if you go out and play softball, you get a bunch of young guys, a bunch of 20-something-year-old guys who think they're going to go out and beat everybody, and then they just get cooked by a bunch of old dudes who hit singles all over the field.
Yep.
That's what Canada feels like. They feel like the young team that just doesn't know how to get there yet.
Yep.
But give them 4 years, give them 8 years, and that team is going to be so good, so dominant.
Yeah. Yeah. France is heading that way. And Germany's been really, really good.
Yeah.
Serbia's really, really good. There's I don't think Spain is down for the count forever.
No.
The rest of the world is hooping, and I think you saw the same thing in the women's gold medal game, where France gave Team USA all they could handle, and the U.S. pulls out that 67-66 win. But a couple years ago, that would have seemed unfathomable, right?
Like 2 weeks ago,
right? Yeah. Team hanging with Team USA like that, so ton of fun watching basketball kind of take off around the world, and you're seeing it manifest itself in the Olympics. My mom asked me a fascinating question about the Olympics over the weekend, having to do with meddling. And I want to get to that. Plus, we had Raiders preseason football, 49ers preseason football, tons of stuff coming up on the Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. We're on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Allez, faut continuer à les voler, les ballons. Et ce diable de Curie qui nous fait mal. Attention, attention, au tir de Steph Curie. Oh non, mais non, mais non.
Gâchez, vous allez lever la main, à tout moment il peut déclencher.
Attention, ça va déclencher, Devin Booker. Steph Curry, au buzzer, mais c'est pas possible.
Là, qui renverse pour Kevin Durant. Ah, il a la main chaude, Steph Curry, il a la main chaude, il a la main chaude.
C'est pas possible.
Il a la main chaude, Steph Curry.
Ah, ils ont tout donné, hein, les Français. Mais face à Steph Curry et sa maestra.
Allez, deux secondes, une seconde, c'est terminé. 80...
That was the French broadcast of the Steph Curry flurry that took out Team France and gave Team USA the gold medal on Saturday's or in Saturday's gold medal game. audio courtesy of NBC. That's James. I'm Kyle. This devil named Curry is hurting us is so funny.
I thought that was spectacular.
It was so good.
Yeah, he calls him a maestro.
Yeah. And like, just, oh no, how is this possible?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's just, what else do you say? Somebody said last night, they tweeted it, and I wish I could remember who it was. I'll look it up. But they said, like, he had Kevin Durant and LeBron James wide open because France chose to double Steph and leave Kevin Durant and LeBron James wide open, and Steph still shot it over the double team, and everybody in that scenario made the right decision.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's a joy to watch, man.
It's so fun.
He really is.
I'm so glad everybody got
when he's busting up your team. That's it's tough.
Yeah,
but it's like you're not gonna go see a painting from like Monet and like, oh, I don't like that painting.
Trash.
I don't like that painting. He's a like.
I'm not big on impressionism.
Yeah.
So I don't. Yeah. My mom asked me this question on Saturday, and I cannot decide where I land on this because my answer is kind of counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
She asked, because we saw the video, right, of the Serbian national team. They beat Germany in the bronze medal game. And we saw him on the bus after the game. Nikola Jokic was partying. Nikola Jokic having a great old time on the bus. And my mom said, hey, would you rather lose the gold medal game and go home with a silver medal or win the bronze medal game?
Mm-hmm. That's so tough.
And I want to win the bronze. Here's why I land on that. I have a silver medal. Someone say, wow, you were a silver medalist in the Olympics. Yeah. We lost the gold medal game.
Mm.
And we were the runners up. Whereas the bronze medalist is going, dude, we could have gone home with no medal. And instead we went out and we busted their asses. We got this bronze. We medaled. They didn't. Let's go. Big winners.
Yeah.
Like there's no way Team France, as they're taking that podium with their silver medals, feels like they accomplished something more than Team Serbia did. Right?
I think.
Maybe?
I think, like, when you get on the podium and you're up here and they're down here and then there's somebody up higher.
Yeah.
Maybe you feel it like, okay, we were the second best team in this tournament. But you're right, the, like, leaving the tournament, like, okay, we won.
Yeah.
We came away with something.
Yeah.
That's really tough. I don't know. I think I'm still, like, the initial feel is, I would rather win the bronze. But 2 weeks later, I think I'd rather have the silver.
Jeremiah Price in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, salute to Jeremiah, says, in the moment, bronze, but after 2 weeks, the silver.
Well, I didn't read what he said, but that's what I literally just said that.
Okay.
Yeah, I missed that.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
That after a while, once the immediate like pain of losing wears off, you've got a silver medal now. You were a silver medalist. You were the second best team in the world. Better than the third best team.
That's right.
But also, you look at that silver medal and you're going, man, that three I missed, or oh god, that turnover I had.
Yeah.
Or oh man, if we had just guarded Steph a little bit differently, maybe we could have. Whereas the bronze medal team's just like, hell yeah, we did it.
Well, that's what Serbia certainly looked like.
They looked tanked on the podium, by the way. Nikola Jokic had no idea where he was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing.
He went full Kyle Shanahan up there.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Yeah. I did not see Bogdan Bogdanovic. I wasn't looking for Bogey when I was watching like the celebration videos because it's all Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to guarantee he wasn't like fully all on board with celebrating just the bronze. He's like stewing. Like
probably a little bit.
Yeah.
He was. You'll never believe this. There was video of him at the horse races the next day.
Oh, yeah?
A stunner.
That's funny.
Yeah. I have a hard time feeling like you won silver when you lost a gold, you know? Here's how it should go. Here's how it should go. Third and fourth place teams play. So the bronze medal game and the gold medal game happen. Winner of the gold medal game wins gold. Okay, so USA wins, they're done. Serbia and France, because Serbia won the bronze medal game, Serbia and France play, winner gets the silver medal, they go home, they're done.
Okay.
So let's say France beats Serbia, wins the silver, they go home. Now Serbia and Germany play again. That way every team that's playing and winning a medal is winning a medal.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I would say you don't need the third game. Like I would say it would be like gold beat silver. Well, like first place is like established.
Hmm.
Then second and third play each other and whoever wins that.
In the silver medal game.
Yeah.
Okay, and then loser gets bronze.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay. Okay. So I can rock
at least
that.
They go home feeling like they won something.
Yeah. Okay, I can rock with that. I like that better.
I don't know. I think
Olympic committee call me.
It is fine how it's worked out. But at the end of the day, I do get it's like a, yeah, that's a, it's a conundrum. Yeah. Like,
hey, speaking of real quick, did you, speaking of the IOC, and then we can talk about something else. So Ray Gunn, the Australian breakdancer, was a winner of the Olympics. Rachel Ray Gunn didn't win a single match, a single dance off. I didn't tap in much to the breakdancing, so I don't know the lingo. But she was in three matches and won zero. She lost 2-0, 2-0, 2-0. I don't know. This is from Twitter and sleuths on Reddit. How she got there, and she's the one that everybody's been making memes of. She was decked out in her Team Australia uniform. You saw everybody else in their kind of streetwear. She's in the green and yellow pants, green and yellow shirt, matching hat. And she talked about how it meant something to her to represent Australia, and it's her uniform and this and that. Well, she got memed to oblivion because she wasn't great.
She's not a breakdancer.
Not that good of a... I'm not a judge. I don't know. I can't breakdance. She is a better dancer than me. I will put that on wax right now.
As someone who has watched like 8 seasons of So You Think You Can Dance, because my wife is a dancer and loves dance. She gets laughed off the stage, and like she becomes like a joke in the beginning of So You Think You Can Dance. Like she's one of the people who try out.
She's like William Hung.
She's like that equivalent, and that's what she would be on So You Think You Can Dance. Everyone would be like, "Hey, why are you here?" Mm-hmm. "Oh, I'm a breakdancer." It's like, "No, you're not. You're somebody who's like in New York City watching." Like a crew of 6 guys breakdancing, going crazy on a bunch of cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, "Oh, I got this." And you get out there and you like fall down 6 times.
And everyone walks away.
And everyone's laughing at you. Like, what has happened? That's the equivalent. There was no high level skill. There was no, none of it.
So the Olympics decided, so there was the World Dance Sport Federation, who wanted ballroom dancing. They are a ballroom dancing federation, group, organization. And they said, "Hey, Olympics, we would like ballroom dancing in the Olympics."
I think it's because they are the organized people of the dance world.
Right.
They're like, "We're organized.
Right, we got this.
We got this, everybody. Yeah. We got this. We'll go get us represented."
Right.
We're organized. We're legitimate people who can do like multiple steps and routines.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We are the ballroom dancers of the dancing world. We got this. So he said, "Hey, how about ballroom dancing?" And the IOC said, "No, this is not 1847. We need to get something more geared toward the youths. We're going to implement breaking or break dancing.
Utes of America.
The youths." Well, the World Dance Sport Federation knows nothing about breakdancing. So they cannot put together trials because they don't know what they're looking at. So they outsourced this job. So the IOC has outsourced the job to the World Dance Sport Federation. World Dance Sport Federation then outsources that job to smaller groups around the country and around the world. And in Australia, they have the Australian Breaking Organization. Guess who founded the Australian Breaking Organization? You'll never guess.
I don't know, Kyle. Who was it?
Well, it was Rachel Ray Gunn and her husband. And who told the World Dance Sport Federation to partner with the ABA?
I don't know.
You guessed it, James. Rachel Ray Gunn and her husband.
Oh.
So the Australian Breaking Association, also known as AusBreak, they run a competition every year. They have a breakdancing competition. 10 to 15 women enter, and there are homies, and Rachel Gunn's husband is the judge, and they just do this dance competition. They have a great time, and they're all friends. This is what they do. It's like bingo.
It sounds like a Tuesday night at somebody's house.
Right. It's bocce, softball, whatever thing you do in your spare time, This is what they do, which is cool. So they do this 10 to 15 person dance off, dance competition, and they say, hey, the winner of this is going to the Olympics. So Raygun, whose husband is the judge, wins the competition, and then he is appointed the coach, and husband and wife get a taxpayer-funded trip to Paris.
With the gear.
With the gear.
That's right.
And she danced her heart out.
Tough. This feels like something that could happen in like a very small country. It does not feel like something that could happen in Australia.
Right.
This is like something that like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like this
yes.
feels like something from a very,
yeah, like
very...
This country has a population of 800,000 people.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what happened. It's like, okay, cool. But like, really?
Yeah, this feels like something that Greenland, like the population is so low. Or what's the little tiny country in Europe? I mean,
there's a lot of them.
But there's one really small one. So it's not the Vatican, but it's like almost if the Vatican
sure.
was like, okay, which of our priests is the best breakdancer? And then the Pope is the coach. The Pope gets to go as the coach.
We're in.
Yeah.
This is how it goes. 26.01 million people in Australia as of a 2022
Thank
census.
You. Luxembourg.
There we go. So I apparently she's like she has a PhD in breakdancing.
What?
And she's writing a book about her experience, and it is just...
She is making some money off
it this. It is insane, dude. We're going to get a wild-ass documentary about this at some point. Somebody, I don't know if they're lying or somebody's getting swindled, but... I wouldn't be shocked, and maybe they've announced this already and I just missed it, but I wouldn't be shocked if breakdancing is no longer an Olympic sport after this year.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it just...
I mean, like, if you've watched high-level breakdancing, it's just amazing. Like, and there's all kinds of different forms of breakdancing, but my goodness, man, there are people that are so talented.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing here? It's too bad that this is how it kind of, like, it came... It was established and built up. And then, like, it's almost like you didn't really take it serious.
That's what it feels like.
It feels like if the X Games were not, like, established before they started allowing skateboarding and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it was like BMXers, like, couldn't get their bikes in there because they're like, we already have too many bike races. They're like, okay, well, what about if we send the skateboard guys? They're like, okay, and then the BMXers like, well, we don't know what's good and what's not from the skateboarder guys.
Right.
Yeah, like, they don't know.
It was tough look for our girl Raygun.
On a side note, if any of people who are out there, like, my wife and I, my wife is a dancer. She's been a dancer forever.
Mm-hmm.
She used to, like, teach Zumba and other mm-hmm. things, but she was a dancer when she was younger. We went and took dance classes as couples.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacular. I highly recommend it.
Yeah?
Just like given because
like ballroom dancing
yeah,
or
waltz, foxtrot, tango.
Oh. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's super cool. It's a really fun night out where you go and like go out to dinner afterwards. It's cool because you learn how to sort of couple, how to like move with your partner, how
mm-hmm.
to like understand that your partner loves dancing and you don't, but that doesn't matter. Sometimes you got to give and take because she doesn't like sports and you do, and she's going to sit there on the couch and watch football. So you should probably go to a dance class at least a couple of times and see what you can do.
If that feels hyper specific.
I just like hit it right on the nail. Like, right? You're like, okay, yeah, I think we get that. But that's what I think, it's a really cool thing. So the ballroom people like are amazing,
mm-hmm.
and what they like, it makes sense that they're the organized people
mm-hmm.
who have dance classes that you can go and
1,000%.
Pay for, as opposed to breakdancing classes, which not a lot of people are doing breakdancing studios and all that stuff.
I feel like I understand the. Particularly with breakdancing, I understand the athleticism required.
Oh, yeah.
They are doing things that I could, I, would have never in my life been able to do. Mm-hmm. It is just a flexibility and a strength that I'm just, nope, don't got it. Same thing, honestly, with ballroom dancers. There is a level of athleticism and coordination and timing and rhythm that I just do not possess. Mm-hmm. So I could see where that being a competition is a thing. But when I think Olympics, I do not think breakdancing. I don't think ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine ballroom dancing in the Olympics? It's just people ballroom dancing around a floor. That doesn't look that, I don't know.
Have you watched high-end ballroom dancing, though?
No. I've watched Dancing with the Stars.
They're so, no, no. High-end ballroom dancing is so incredible.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is I don't, like, it is a thing that I know, A, I don't properly appreciate, but B, I don't, in gymnastics, for example, mm-hmm. you see what separates, like, oh, that was a good routine or that was a not good routine, even if you don't know what you're watching.
Yeah.
You know the basics of, like, okay, you got to land here, you can't stumble, you got to do X, Y, and Z, like, you kind of know. So when you watch a good floor routine versus a bad floor routine, you know, like, man, they crushed that. That person didn't, that person did. With ballroom dancing, I would have no idea what, and I feel like when everybody is that high a level, I don't know where you would, how you would judge it.
No, you're right. I mean, I could see that you might like feel that way, but it's kind of like figure skating and watching like the couples figure skating. And
okay.
So you're sitting okay. there like, I don't know what that they're supposed sense. To do and what they're not. But I think the difference is in figure skating, people bail.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, they slip. And you're like, oh, you fully saw where they made a mistake. I think that might be the point, but that you would miss in ballroom dancing. But like, they're doing crazy tricks and all kinds of things. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it requires like incredible strength and.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Technique. And maybe they'll put it in for the summer games. Maybe they'll put ballroom dancing in and take out breaking. I don't know.
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting that the TV ratings for the Olympics were so high this year. And I think that was a credit to NBC for having so many things available.
Yes. Huge.
But it makes me really, really excited for the LA Olympics in 2028 because there are so many athletes now that I'm just aware of that I was not before or that I have thoughts about that I didn't before. Mm-hmm. And that was just really, really cool getting to have that so accessible where like Katie Ledecky did her Katie Ledecky thing again, but it felt so far down the totem pole of notable things because you had the Noah Lyles of the world and the Sha'Carri Richardsons after she didn't get to go to the last Olympics, she gets to step forward. You saw guys like Devin Booker in the Olympics take a step forward. You know that WNBA players like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are going to be available in the 2028 games. That's where I'm really, really excited for the LA games. All that said, I'm not going.
No?
I don't think you could pay me to be in LA.
Okay, that's possible.
Check that. Odyssey, you can pay me to go to L.A. Sorry, okay. Go on.
I think I would go for soccer and maybe basketball. I mean, basketball, especially if there was a Sacramento King being represented, like maybe I would go down and like, but I don't know. It seems like the Olympics is crazy.
If there was a Sacramento King on Team USA in 2028, would it be De'Aaron Fox or Keegan Murray?
Probably Keegan.
Yeah, because he's on...
He's on the select team.
Yeah.
But you could also have Sabonis there. You could also like...
Well, for Lithuania, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for Lithuania. But there's possibility of having other players there, right?
Mm-hmm. So, Trey Lyles.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's true.
If he's on the team in 2028.
Yeah. So I'm here for it. Like the Olympic, I haven't experienced that. I haven't been to the Super Bowl either. So...
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. I can't believe you haven't been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I couldn't... So it's tough because... What I do work-wise for the 49ers specifically is so much easier to do when I'm not at the place.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, hey, this thing happened. Here's what I think about it. I'm not doing, like, heavy reporting.
I've covered games. I covered a Raiders and a 49ers game when I was at NBC. And working with Matt Maiocco is, like, incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, we were all, like... Hey, I'll take this story. I'll take this. I'll take whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And you're just sitting there writing, I think, three or four stories in a day. That's what's crazy about the NFL. The amount of stories that come out of one game where it's really, really tough to come out of a Sacramento Kings game with more than one or two super small sidebars.
But it's because it's 82 games versus 16, right?
Oh, totally.
I'm guessing over the course of an NBA season, there are probably, or I guess 17 NBA games or NFL games now, but there's probably 16 or 17 games that are like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Keegan Murray goes for, 47?
Yeah.
Keegan goes for 47, or Harrison Barnes has a huge game, or they beat the Celtics. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's probably about the same amount of games, and then the rest of them are.
Well, that, and I think in the NFL, there are so many injuries in every single game.
Oh, true, yeah.
So there's multiple injury reports that you're writing throughout the game about, and then how's that going to impact and moving forward. So you're always in the NBA, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
There are injuries, but it's you can have two guys, three guys out via injury, but rarely does it happen in one game where boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if that does happen, the pace of the game is so fast.
Yeah.
That you can't write that during the game, and then you want quotes and stuff after the game. So that's one story that three guys got hurt.
And in the NFL, there's 22 on offense and defense, plus your kicker and your punter. So let's call it 24 notable players that, hey, this offensive lineman having a terrible game, okay, that's a story. Or, hey, this backup running back coming in and having this great game, that's a story. You don't typically see that as much in the NBA.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Harrison Barnes will go for 35, but it's De'Aaron Fox, it's Domantas Sabonis, it's Keegan Murray.
Yeah, and that's when the Keon Ellis stories pop up.
Yes.
But they end up running for 2 weeks because it's, so many games happen in that same amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's really just very different how you cover every sport.
I do want to go to a Super Bowl, though.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
We should go to the Super Bowl together.
We got, we have the resources.
We do.
I think. I hope.
Well.
We'll see.
We'll see. That could be tested.
Where is it this year?
I don't know.
I should know this.
Oh.
Why don't I know where it is this year?
I don't usually know until
where's the Super Bowl, everybody?
That's right.
We didn't plan to talk about this. That's why we don't know. Miami? No, New Orleans? Is it New Orleans again? Are we back in New Orleans?
I love going to New Orleans.
We just had SoFi Stadium. Levi's Stadium is next year.
Wait, Levi is
New
next
Orleans. Year?
2026? Oh, well, we could go to Levi.
Just do that?
Yeah.
Looks like New Orleans. Oh, now we've got two people saying Miami. TCG said New Orleans. Tyler said Miami with a question mark. Soren wants to say Miami. Manny picked a different country. I don't think that's right.
New Orleans.
I don't think it's LA.
Caesars Superdome in New Orleans.
There we go. Right on.
Wait.
It's a great venue. Dude, I've never been to New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't been to New Orleans?
Never been to New Orleans either.
I've been there 4 or 5 times. I've covered a couple of games there. I've covered the Final Four, and I've covered NBA.
I'm just saying, two birds, one stone. Super Bowl and a trip to New Orleans?
There it is.
Odyssey, send us. All right, that's James. I'm Kyle. We got a second hour coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.